The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
This is all about solutions to life. There are solutions and there are soul-lutions. And what we want to talk about are solutions. But the reason why we need solutions is because we as human beings are so complex and so problematic and so confused. I mean, not you guys, because you came tonight, so obviously you're already pretty... So there's a comedian by the name of Stephen Wright. He's got these, like, sweet one-liners. So I saw one which I thought was so classic in terms of the complexities of human beings. He said, you know, when I turned 2, I really got anxious because I realized that just in 1 year, I doubled my age. And I figure by the time I reach 6, I'm going to be 99. Oh, I guess he does it better than I. I guess I have to do it with a straight face. All right. The complexities of human beings. Animals, they're basically happy. You know, they're basically happy. You give them a little water. You give them a little food. Give them some shelter. You don't kick them. They're happy. Right? Animals are happy. Human beings, even if we have the best food, which we do, right? Even if we have the best shelter, which obviously you've seen the cabins here, they're right, 5-star, right? Even if nothing's ailing us, it is still possible that we will not be happy. Not only that, we may even be miserable. Not even that, but you may have human beings that would even consider ending their life. And yet they have all the food they need, they have all the water, shelter, and physically they're fine. But what's wrong? What's wrong is our souls. And therefore, we need a solution. Rabbi Twersky was a great rabbi. I heard him say a really important point. He said, if we were to go back in time, 100 years, and we were to tell the people 100 years ago what life would look like today, right? I mean, they'd be flabbergasted. If we were to begin to describe to them our homes, or how we take this little gadget in our hand and we just press it and we point it at something, and that determines whether the heat goes up in the room or the heat goes down in the room. If we were to explain to them what a kitchen looks like today, 100 years ago, I know my father, who wasn't 100 years ago, I may have a stream, but my father told me that in Russia where he lived, and he's 80 years old, he should live to 120, but is there anybody here that doesn't own a refrigerator? It's amazing. Something so common. Everybody has a refrigerator. My father did not have a refrigerator. They had a well. Okay? So it also means that they didn't have a faucet. Right? They had a well in their backyard. And in the well, when they would have to store things that needed to be cooled, they would lower it into the well. My father told me that for Yom Tov, that was the only time they would have meat, because they could barely afford it, right? But they had a little bit of meat. So, of course, they lowered it down into the well. And that's where it would be. It would stay. But unfortunately, something went wrong, and the meat fell into the well. Now you have a whole kashrus problem, a problem with the kosher, because now you've got this meat that's in the well. So my father, being the shortest in the family, you have to understand, I'm the tallest in my family. Okay. So they put him on a rope, and they lowered him down, and he would bring up the water, and then he'd wash it out. I mean, has anybody had to do this? No. Right. Imagine us describing what a kitchen today, a microwave oven. It's absolutely ridiculous in a couple of minutes. Right? Imagine what it took in those days to get the wood, to get the fire, to set it up. They'd be flabbergasted. And then describe to them our transportation, our cars. And what cars we have, it's unbelievable what you can get in a car. Nowadays, it's also computerized that if there's a couple of drivers in the family, you just push a button and everything automatically accords itself to the driver. Okay, so the seat changes and the mirror changes, even the radio changes. I mean, everything. Who would imagine that? People had a donkey, maybe, if you're like high class, you know? If you were to describe communications, right? I mean, who would ever think about a cell phone? It's crazy. I mean, people walking down the street talking to themselves is now normal. I mean, once upon a time, you see a person go, whoa, whoa, whoa. You think he's crazy. And they say, oh, he's on a cell phone. Even if you don't see anything, must be a cell phone. Right? But it's so incredible. I mean, when I was growing up, I remember Get Smart. Do you remember Get Smart? I'm that old, right? And he had a shoe phone. I thought, wow, can you imagine someday when we'll have a shoe phone? Right? It's amazing. Right? It's amazing. I have a Keepa phone. Right? This is actually a phone. You don't believe this. I know, but it's actually a phone. It's also a satellite dish. We're in a whole new world, okay? And if we were to describe, what life is like today to people 100 years ago, what would they conclude? They would conclude that we must be the happiest generation in history. Are we? Are we happier than those people 100 years ago? I mean, I don't know. I haven't spoken to one yet. But my guess is, unfortunately, no. I don't know if we're happier. We might even be more miserable. And you know why I think we might be more miserable? Right? Because we have so much time on our hands. But once upon a time, we didn't have time to think, what are we going to do with our time? But then we have so much time to think about what are we going to do with our time. So once upon a time, just to cook lunch could take you hours. Till you get the wood, till you get the fire, till you get the food. I mean, like, nowadays, with the microwave, as much as it's an incredible luxury, now I do. So we're in a world where we're the most challenged with who we are, because once upon a time, we were so busy, who had time to think? Right? It's like the Tevye and the Goldie story where he asks her whether she loves him or not. You know, and they never even thought about that. Who has time to think, I love you, I don't love you, I cook for you, I clean for you, Now we have the luxury to ask questions, but unfortunately we don't have the solutions. So interestingly enough, animals, they're really happy creatures. And it's understandable why pagan mankind would actually deify the animals. Some of them would put actually animal masks because they wanted to be animals, because from the human perspective, to ascend to the level of an animal was so high, because they're so peaceful, they're so natural, they're so much into the flow, they're so in touch with themselves. Animals are not fakes. Have you ever seen a fake animal? Right? You see fake people all the time, right? But fake animals, a cat is a cat is a cat. That's it. The only time I saw a fake cat was on the David Letterman show. The cat that barked. Showbiz, what can I tell you? This cat actually barked. It was really a dog, right? Transvestite cat. I don't know, it was strange, right? But when you think about it, why? What are we missing? So the point is that our problems are very often not connected to our physical state of being at all. We might have everything, and yet the best things in life are not things. Love, meaning, purpose. And if that's missing in our lives, we could have everything. Actually, Stephen Wright says you can't have everything, because where would you put it? All right, so we can't have everything. But even if we had most things, still, people are so sad. Recently, I met a fellow, and this fellow owns a company on Wall Street. So you walk into the company, and it's really magnificent. He's got the whole floor of a huge building. He's got his name in brass up there. You walk in to the main entrance, and I'm thinking, who is this guy? I mean, he's a mega wealthy fellow, written up in magazines, so incredibly successful man. And so they walk me into his office, and his office is about the size of this room. And it's just his office, okay? Just his office. And Nebuch, this guy, looks like such a Nebuch. He looks so sad. He looks so miserable. He sits there with all these screens around him. And I tell you, had I seen him walking in the hallway, I would have thought he was the janitor. I would never in a million years think that this guy owns this company, built this company. So I said, wow, this is quite an impressive place. Yeah, I know. But I said, wow, I mean, you built this? Yeah, I built this. I said, wow, this is pretty incredible. I said, so, you know, so how do you feel? I said, I'm miserable. My wife says, I don't live love in my life. Right? But I don't know how to love. I just know how to make money. So people could have what so many would think is everything, and yet we're not happy. So let's try to understand, what is it? What are our problems? What are our problems? So I can think of three fundamental problems or issues or needs that I think everybody has. The first is everybody needs to feel significant. Right? We want to be acknowledged. We want to feel valued. We want to feel appreciated. We don't want to be taken for granted. We want to feel significant. Number one. Number two, everybody wants to feel loved or connected. We want to feel included. We want to feel welcomed. We want to belong to something greater than ourselves. And number three, everybody wants to grow, especially me, right? Everybody wants to grow. I remember when I was a child, my mother took me to a doctor. I didn't know why I was going to the doctor because I was fine. And we go in there. My mother's a really Jewish mother, right? That's why I'm Jewish. And we're in this doctor. The doctor kind of looks me up and down. He takes my mother to the corner. He goes, I don't know what this is about. Well, it turns out that my mother read this little article how this man has a secret formula of how to make children grow. And my mother did not want me to be short. Right? Well, I'm not, because I told you I'm the tallest in the family, so relatively I'm the green giant. But everybody wants to grow. Everybody wants to grow. Everybody needs to feel they're progressing in some way. Those are the three things, or actually no things, because they're not things, that everybody seems to want. But now I'd like to take a look at the solutions and compare them to the solutions. Because what really happens in people's lives is that they tend to find quick fixes to solve some very deep soul issue rather than really taking care of the problem. They find some bogus way, or they find some counterfeit. In Jewish tradition, the choices in life are between what's real and what's counterfeit. Most people think that evil is like black and good is white, right? And somehow the choices will be obvious. Yeah, those are not the highest level of choices that will be challenged in our lives. The greatest challenges in our lives are the challenge between white and a little off-white. A challenge between a $100 bill and a $100 bill that has Washington's eyeball just a little bit off, which makes it a worthless piece of paper, between what's real and what's counterfeit. So I want you to help me with this, because I want you to be part of this. Okay? Let's think of ways that we try to solve our need for significance. Okay? Okay? Significance. Think in your own life. Think in your own life. I probably spelled that wrong, but I'm a significant guy. It doesn't matter. Okay? What do people do? Now, I'm not looking for solutions. I'm looking for the quick fixes that we tend to throw ourselves into with the hope that it will deliver to us this need of significance. Let's hear one. Yes. What? A brand new car. Why does that make you significant?
I'm not saying me, but
I wasn't suggesting with you. You don't have a brand new car. Okay.
No, I'm just saying that's the part of the American dream. Brand new car.
Okay. Okay. What we try to do to make ourselves feel good about ourselves is we buy things. We buy things that are valuable. We buy things which are impressive. And therefore, we feel that we're valuable. I mean, on my way to the United States, I was in the airport. and had a little time. So I started, wandering around the airport. I wandered into Stern's Jewelry. I don't know if you're familiar with Stern's Jewelry. Okay, so I see some people nodding. Okay, so if you can afford to walk in there. So, okay, Stern's Jewelry. So I'm starting looking at these necklaces. Not for myself. I already have plenty. But I started looking at these necklaces, and I just couldn't believe it. They were stunning. But the prices were outrageous. And I thought to myself, well, why would someone spend that kind of money to put that around their neck? But you know what? If you wear $1 million, you feel like $1 million, you look like $1 million, so it's easy to think, well, then I'm significant. That's one of the things we do to feel significant. Or we wear fancy clothing. Again, I'm not saying this is bad. I'm just simply asking, does this deliver the goods? Does this solve the problem? Is this a solution, or is this a solution, and that it somehow leaves us still empty and still thirsty and still feeling that we didn't accomplish? Let's think of more ways. What else do we do besides things, right? What other things do we do? So we'll put clothing here. We'll put jewelry here. Okay, what else do we do to make ourselves feel significant? Yeah.
Career, having the right career, the right job.
Okay, career. Right. Hey, I'm the CEO of this company, and therefore I feel significant.
Just like that guy you're talking about with me.
Right, because he doesn't feel at all significant. He's absolutely miserable. And yet I understand, although he's not married, right, he owns houses all over the world. So I asked him, why do you have so many houses? I mean, he's all alone, and he doesn't even travel much. He has no concentration. While he's talking to me, he's writing notes about his business and looking at the screen. Right? No, he couldn't be present, right? So a person could think that if I climb the ladder of success and I get that kind of appreciation or that acknowledgement, then I'm significant. But it doesn't always deliver. Okay, so I would put here that people want to feel that they're the best at something or they're the winner. Right? In some way, I am a winner. I've been honored at a dinner, so I'm significant. Okay? Or I, for instance, not only just in career, but have you ever read McGinnis Record, world-breaking record? Have you read this book? I'm the only one that reads this book. Did you guys see me in there? Okay. For least sold books in the world? No, just joking. Right. Okay. So we want to feel like we're winners, that we draw attention. I remember that I actually saw on the news this world-breaking news experience. It was a group of people that decided to bake the longest apple strudel in the world. Right? This was on the news, right? And you can see the newscaster saying, oh, Harry, can we get a close-up on the apple strudel? So you start seeing the camera go in on the apple strudel. You kind of look like you're landing on the moon. So I thought, I didn't really understand what's going on. And it's kind of going along this thing. And they start talking about it. And they say, well, can we get a picture of all the people that are being involved with this grand project? So you see, all of a sudden you see these people going like this, like they're next to their apple strudel, the piece of apple strudel they were part of. Right? And it was unbelievable. This is the longest apple strudel ever baked in history. So they spoke to the fellow who came up with the idea. Said, well, what got into you that you wanted to do this, right? It was mom and apple pie. No, it was apple strudel, right? He said, well, I don't know. I just woke up one morning and I said, wouldn't this be amazing? Wouldn't this be incredible if a group of people would get together and we would bake the longest apple strudel in the world? Why do people do things like this? Because it makes us feel significant. We're in the news, on the front page. We want to feel significant. What else do we do? Well, we work on our body, okay? Bodybuilding. I remember not so long ago, I thought, well, once I hit 40, I think I should start taking care of myself. You know, you get to the midlife crisis, you start wondering. So I joined the gym, or actually explored joining a gym. I walked in there were all mirrors. Total place was mirrors. And I walk in there, and all these guys are going like this. These guys had so many muscles, they could flex their earlobes, right? But, so I speak to the guy who runs the place, and I say, well, you know, I'm interested in just taking care of myself and getting in better shape, and why would I do this? So this guy is like, it looks like the Hulk. And he says to me, he says, you know, man, before I started weightlifting, I was a scrawny runt. But now look at me. Yeah. So I said, okay. Are you going to do that for me? I said, yeah. I said, okay. He says, I said, but why would I do this? I'm interested in health. I'm interested in feeling, you know, healthy. So he says, man, once I'm finished with you, when you're pumping iron, you're going to walk down the street, the chicks are going to look at you. I said, I'm a rabbi. Right? But this is what people do. You feel good about yourself because you've got this humongous body, right, with all the different parts of your t-shirt ripped. They actually buy ripped t-shirts. I thought that was really interesting. So I got one too, but they told me that you're supposed to rip it with your muscles, right? And I like, I don't know. Anyways, but we build our bodies because we have better bodies. Okay? Now, when my book, Endless Light, came out, of course, I was sure it would be a bestseller so I could feel significant in my life. So, well, it didn't become the bestseller. So I was interested in what became the bestseller. So I looked on Amazon. The book that became the bestseller when my book came out was Looking Great Naked. Written by a rabbi. No. No, it was a Kabbalist. Okay? Looking Great Naked. That became the bestseller. In front of, oh, how many people are going to show? I mean, like, but that was it. You feel significant because you've got this incredible body. Okay, plastic surgery. People want to look good. I once saw an ad on the airplane, and it literally had a price list. Can you imagine it? What it costs to get your ears higher, your nose lower, your eyebrows higher. Also, fatter lips. I could never understand why people would want fatter lips or, you know, this was expensive, but a bigger tuchus. Why would you want a bigger tuchus? Like in traffic, just in case someone bumps into you? You know, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. So I take out my little Casio calculator to figure out what it would cost to get a new David Aaron. Okay? I went through this. Also, they had an easy pay plan on credit card. And it really wasn't so expensive. Okay, I had a whole new me. But why do people do this? Why do people do this? I don't know. Somebody told me to take a look at a Michael Jackson website. There's a website that actually has the history of his plastic surgery. And I know you're wondering why I did this. I only did this for the sake of Torah, so I could teach you this, okay? I'm looking at this website. It's just absolutely pathetic. It's so sad how many times he has changed his face. Right? You cannot recognize him. In fact, he's done it so many times that he's actually wrecked his face. Right? He has wrecked his nose. Right? There's not much more they can do with his nose. Now, it's really pathetic. Why would a guy like that, who's anyway so successful, okay? And I actually thought he was pretty cute when he was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, what does he need that for? We want to feel good about ourselves. We want to feel significant. And sometimes we pass off our inner problems. And rather than deal with and find a solution, what we do is we find some way to simulate the feeling of significance. Okay, what else do people want? People want to feel loved. Okay, we want to feel loved. So what do we do instead of finding a real solution to feeling loved? What do we do to try and deliver the feeling of being loved and feeling connected? What do we do? We eat. Now there's a Jewish girl. Satisfy your mom. Mom, I'm eating. I really am. I really am eating, Mom. Okay, very good. We eat. I didn't come up with that one. You're skinny. Look at you. Right? You didn't eat enough. That's why. Okay, good. That's why there's so much food at this retreat. We want you to feel loved. Write your parents, I ate and I ate and I ate. Okay. What else do we do to feel loved? We must not feel so loved. All right, what do we do? Again, we're looking for bogus ways that people try to get the feeling that I'm loved or that I'm connected. Well, one of the things that we confuse love with is sex, right? Sex appeal. Right? When I was growing up, there is a commercial for toothpaste called Ultra Bright. Called Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal. Wow, that's amazing. I worked for a Jewish organization. They were doing a marketing seminar on how to market and recruit Jews to belong to this organization. It was a youth group. So they brought in the guy who came up with the Ultra Bright sex appeal campaign. Right? It was a Jewish youth group. And so he was going to teach us how to recruit kids into the youth group. So he turns to this Jewish youth group and he says, okay, and these were like 100 staff members who worked for this organization. And he says, okay, tell me what your organization's about. So one person puts up their hand and says, fun. Puts fun on the board. Okay. What is this organization about? Friends. Puts friends on the board. Anything else? Anything else? Now remember, this is a Jewish organization, right? Nothing else. Now, I'm the only guy with a kippah or the satellite dish on my head, right? And I'm thinking, well, how about Judaism? Like, nobody's mentioned, it is a Jewish organization, right? So finally, I put up my hand and I said, well, I think there is one more thing. He says, yeah, what's that? I said, well, what about Judaism? And the room kind of goes like, ugh. You know, people are like, who did this guy come from? So he goes, oh, Judaism. So he also puts it on the board, okay? But then for an hour, he talks about fun and friends and doesn't relate to Judaism at all. And this was a Jewish guy, right? So I came up to him afterwards and I said, you know, you're a real marketer. I mean, you came up with the sex appeal campaign. So, you know, this is your... He says, yeah, yeah. I said, could you sell anything? He says, I could sell anything. I mean, anything. He says, yes. I said, could you sell Judaism? He said, sure. I said, well, what is it? The Jewish guy, what is it? What are we selling? We confuse loved with a sex appeal. Okay? If I'm attractive, okay. What else do we do to feel connected? To feel like we belong? To feel that we're loved? What else? Well, believe it or not, we wear Nike shoes. Right? Because Nike is a community. Right? I now belong to that. It's an interesting thing. All these firms can be a bogus way. Again, not for everyone. I'm not suggesting that everyone buys Nike because they want to feel loved, they want to feel connected. But one of the subtle approaches for people to feel connected is that, right? We are part of a community. If we have a little polo here, we're part of a community. We're part of something greater than ourselves. And it works. Or if people wear, you know, a t-shirt with Michael Jackson, I'm part of this very successful guy. I identify with this very successful guy. These are ways that try to help us feel that we are connected, that we are loved, that we are welcomed. So in fact, you should know that Nike doesn't even sell shoes, right? I recently read an article on marketing that none of these companies try to sell you things because they know that nobody wants things. So Nike is actually selling you transcendence through sports. Right? It's really a spiritual thing you're buying into. Or IBM apparently doesn't show pictures of computers anymore because they don't want you to think that they're about buying computers. They sell global communication. You're part of a global network of unity. It's getting in touch. Right? But that's what really interests us. But the problem is that it's so easy to camouflage it, and I go buy myself a computer now, but I've bought into that. So part of the feeling loved, the feeling connected is, what would we call this? Well, just right now we'll call it Nike again. I have nothing against Nike. In fact, I belong to New Balance. But again, or the Gap. There's something about shopping at the Gap. Why? You know, across the road, I can get the same schmata for half the price. But I can't walk down the street with the bag. If I walk down the street with the bag, it's the Gap. Again, I'm part of this higher society. I'm part of this greater community. See, what I did is I just bought a bag, and now I go to the schmata store and walk down the street with the bag. I'm just joking, right? But this is part of the way we try to feel part of a greater community, because we want to. Or a social drinking, or a disco, or a bar. These have become communities for people. Let's go to the next one. People want to feel that they're growing. Okay? They want to grow. Oh, very nice. So what do we do to feel growth? Right? What do we feel so that we can really feel like we're growing? What do we do? Again, this is to deliver a quick fix that we're actually growing. Now, I'm not suggesting that this is all bad and therefore just throw it out. Right? But it's important to be able to distinguish, is this delivering? Are we finding ways to accomplish or deal with problems that ultimately in the end do not deliver? Okay? So what about growth? What do people do to feel like they're growing? I'm talking about solutions, not solutions. What do you think? What do people do to feel like they're growing?
Read the newspaper.
Why? While you eat. So that you simultaneously feel loved and grow. Okay. We read the newspaper. Why? Why does it make you feel like you're growing?
Because you feel like you're gaining intelligence.
Ah, okay. By reading the newspaper, you feel like you are gaining intelligence. You're increasing your knowledge. You're amassing information. So if you're amassing information, you must be growing. Very good. What else do we do? Yeah. What?
secret?
Right. But that's okay. That's solution. We're talking about solutions without the you. That's a good thing to be doing, right? We're talking about bogus ways that people try to make themselves feel like they're really growing. Now, again, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with reading the paper. Nothing wrong at all with reading the paper. The question is whether it's a substitute for some inner growth that you should be doing. If it's not, and you're doing the inner growth but you want to read the paper, fine, right? Right? Again, nothing's wrong with this. It becomes wrong when it becomes exclusively the way people try to deal with their issues. What else? Yeah.
Advance in our career.
That's right. If we feel that we're advancing, if we feel we're getting a promotion, we feel like we're growing. What else? Yeah.
Social climbing.
What do you mean?
Being a part of groups that are recognized or popular,
growing
that sense.
That's right. Good. What else? In just a simple sense, if we feel like our money's growing, if we see in our bank account that we had X amount, and now we have double, triple, so it makes us feel like we're growing. But are we really growing? Okay. So, but the question is, why do we have these needs in the first place? Why do we need to feel significant? Why do we need to feel loved? Why do we need to feel like we're growing? Well, Judaism would say, because you are significant, and because you are loved, and because you are growing. You see, Judaism claims that you, the real you, is a soul. You are a soul, and what is a soul? A soul, according to Jewish mysticism, is a spark of God. You're a little spark of God. There's something godly about you, and you know that, because it's who you are. And therefore, it is absolutely natural to want to feel significant because you are significant. And because you are significant, then you have every right to feel that. So we want to live a life, we want to act in ways, we want to do things that will enable us to experience who we really are. Again, the question is, are we doing it in a way that is long-lasting, or are we really looking for quick fixes? Why do we want to feel loved? Because we are loved. Because Judaism says that, first and foremost, God loves us. And God loves us with the same love that he loves himself. Because you're an aspect of himself. You're so to speak, a part of, a piece of, a spark of. Again, all these words are problematic. And why do we want to be loved by the community, by somebody else? Because we are connected. Jewish mysticism teaches us that there's no such thing as an independent being. You are fully connected to every other human being in the world. And therefore, the desire to feel like you're part of a community is simply the desire to experience who you really are. You are a communal being. You know, in Jewish tradition, we have, in terms of the ascending order of evolution, what we have is mineral, vegetable, animal, and then what comes after animal is human beings. But in Hebrew, human being is midabir, the one who speaks. That's how a human being is described, the one who speaks. Well, animals have some form of communication. Why are we called the one who speaks? Because Judaism is telling us that we are social beings. That's part of who we are. The reason why we're social beings is because as a soul, we are fully connected to each other. In Hasidut, in Jewish mysticism, we are taught that although there might be 100 bodies in this room, there's really only one soul. And we're all connected into this one collective soul. And therefore, the desire to feel connected, the desire to feel love, is simply the natural expression of who we are. We are connected, we are love, and we just want to experience that truth. The question is, how do we go about feeling and experiencing that truth in a way that's truly lasting, truly fulfilling, and truly delivers the good? And last but not least, growth. Why do we want to grow? Because we are dynamic beings. We are souls, but we have come into this world to grow. If you read my book, Endless Light, I talk about how, in fact, we're not really human beings, but we're actually human becomings. We can't help but want to grow. But the question is, am I growing? Or is it my property growing? Is it my wardrobe that's growing? It's my money that's growing. But am I really growing? I remember there was a fellow who started a cookie store in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem. And I went in there to buy some cookies, and I saw how excited he was, and he asked the woman who was over the counter, he asked her how many cookies they sold that day. She actually calculated how many cookies they had sold, right? And he was so excited because that was like 5 more cookies than yesterday. So there's this feeling of growth, okay? Now, I know that sounds stupid, but unfortunately, I'm sure we've all met people like that, that are really passing off inner growth with some kind of external growth. And inside they're not growing. But why do we have these needs? We have these needs because we are souls. So even if we have everything, it's still possible that we're not happy. Because the best things in life are not things. And what is it that we're looking for? We're looking for significance. We're looking for love. We're looking for connection. We're looking for growth. And now the real choice and challenge is, are we going to find ways to deliver that significance, that love, that growth in a genuine way that's long-lasting, or do we find some kind of quick fix? And maybe it feels good. Maybe it delivers a simulation of it. But did it really get me what I really wanted? And the reason why we have these needs is because we're a soul. And a soul is divine. And therefore the soul wants to feel significant because it is significant. Wants to feel loved because it is loved. Wants to feel connected because it is connected. Wants to feel that it's growing because it is in this world to grow. And therefore, the answer is to find a solution. We need to find ways to satisfy our soul.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.